I meant what I said about Thanksgiving being all over Scripture. So what book are we studying on Sunday mornings in the church here? Yeah, and so honestly, as I plan out, I plan a lot of the books that we study 4 to 6 months in advance, just kind of looking ahead to see where God's leading us. I don't always do that with Thanksgiving evening. I usually just kind of wait till I get around there and kind of pull something out for that. But as I was going through Colossians, where we just finished, and I read the next section, I'm like, oh, that's Thanksgiving right there. It just hits it over and over again. You don't have to go very far. You just throw a medium-sized rock somewhere in Scripture, and it's going to land on Thanksgiving. And so as we look at that very next section after what we finished on Sunday, we have 3 times Thanksgiving is mentioned. It's kind of the core centralizing truth in verse 15, 16, and 17. So let there be peace that rules in your hearts. Remember, we were talking on Sunday about this identity that God gives us. Before we do anything good for him, he said, I've already made you holy. I've already made you chosen. You're already dearly loved. And now you can begin to live that out. And so because you have that identity, the peace of Christ can rule in your hearts. And you can be thankful because you have that identity. So let this word of Christ, this truth, this identity dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another, you grow into that truth with all wisdom. You're going to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving and gratitude in your hearts again. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So 3 times that Thanksgiving theme kind of comes through there again. So briefly tonight, I just want to kind of wrestle our way through, not wrestle really, it'll be pretty simple. I'm going to understand the rootedness of Thanksgiving. I think there's a beautiful truth of that that Colossians is going to pull us toward. The first thing to kind of note as we look at that is that Thanksgiving is always a secondary thing, right? That isn't really even hard to understand, right? You when you open up the presents under the tree, you open the presents first and then you give thanks, right? You don't thank somebody first and then open the present. Because Thanksgiving always follows the gift. If there's ever a time that you're giving thanks, it's because you received a gift. Whether it was a nice gift at Christmas, whether it was just the gift of something helping you out somewhere, or someone assisting you in something, a nice word, a card, whatever else it was, right? The gift comes first, and then the thanks comes afterward. It is secondary to that, and always follows because there's something that's been given to you. And the reality is that that gift has this special characteristic about it, which is something that we refer to at least within the church or within the Bible as grace, right? We give thanks for things that are undeserved. You don't give thanks for the things that you've earned. You don't give thanks for the things that you've deserved. You give thanks for that which is undeserved. Like, I didn't deserve that, right? I can give thanks for the fact that I can see because I don't have any right to sight. I haven't earned sight. I haven't done something in my life that means I have every right and reason to expect I should be able to see colors and motion and all those kinds of things. Not at all, right? It's total grace. It's an absolute gift given to me that I have done nothing to deserve. Right? But we don't give thanks for the things that we've achieved or done because that's something that we've earned. So Thanksgiving not only has a gift that precedes it, but a gift that is unearned. That is something that we didn't deserve necessarily, that was offered to us. And as you look at that, then what you realize is that that gift, that unearned gift, had to spring from somewhere, right? It had to flow from some source. And it doesn't flow from some random kind of source. No one gives thanks for evolution. Because in some random sense, our lives came together. You give thanks because there is a creator who said, I know you and I care about you and I've defined who you are. So Thanksgiving not only requires a gift, Thanksgiving requires a giver. Right? That's the rootedness of Thanksgiving. It's not just I have a feeling of Thanksgiving, it's who am I thankful to? There's a gift that's in my life of whatever sort it might be, right? It's the gift of family. It's the gift of health. It's the gift of this possession that I have or this experience that I've had or whatever else it might be in life, this quality that I possess. So not only is there a gift there, but there is someone who put the gift there in my life. And as simple as that is, it honestly is pretty amazing because it means that somebody noticed you. In all the busyness of life, is anybody on the highways today? It's pretty busy out there, right? There's just thousands, millions of people all over the place. Right, you're just one cog in the wheel. You go shopping on Friday morning or anytime this weekend, there will be people everywhere, right? You will be desperate to get anybody in a store to notice you and give you help or attention, right? But here is this amazing truth, that there are gifts in your life, and they have been given by an individual, and that individual noticed you. You specifically, not you in a general sense, right? Because the gift is present in your life. So somebody noticed you. And noticed you in a positive way. They said, I want to give a gift to you. Or give multiple gifts to you. Or give hundreds of gifts to you. Right? And it's not even limited. But there is this giver who looks. Who sees you passing by in your life. And says, I want to put a gift in your life. Or I want to put multiple gifts into your life. Thanksgiving requires that there is a gift, and it requires that there is someone who offers that gift into us. And all Thanksgiving matches those kinds of things. Right? That's true if it's the simplest thing. I was walking out of the Apple store today because my daughter had to get something fixed. And there was a guy bringing a big, I don't know, whatever, some kind of computer in there too, and had it on a cart. And so I held the door open for him. My simplest kind of thing ever. And so he says, thank you. Right, because there was a gift of opening the door that would have been hard for him to do when he had his hands on the dolly, and it was because I noticed a human being. I said, you're a human being, and you're worth giving, however small that gift might be, right? So Thanksgiving can happen in those small ways. It can happen in glorious, huge ways, being thankful to your parents, being thankful to a spouse, being thankful to the God Almighty who's bestowed more gifts on you than you can ever contemplate or add up or imagine. All of those at that level begin in that same place by saying there is a gift that is given, and there is a giver, an individual who gave the gift to me. But then Paul goes on from that because he wants to root all of these things in Colossians into this thankfulness toward God, which has a different quality than simple thankfulness toward each other. All of it is good. Being thankful to other individuals is a wonderful and definitely biblical idea. But there is this deeper rootedness of a thankfulness toward God, in part because the gifts of God are better. And longer lasting and richer and more diverse and more abundant than the gifts that any individual can give to you. And so whatever thankful relationship you have with humans, there's no way that it can match the thankful relationship we are called to have with God. And so as Paul goes on, he goes a little bit beyond saying there is a gift and there is a giver to that gift. To emphasizing that this Thanksgiving then is all about this relationship. And my relationship with that guy at the Apple store was really, really short term, right? Barely a couple seconds while I held the door open, he said thank you, and I walked on my way. And then that relationship is over. This relationship with God is not a short term one. And so this thankfulness is not a short term experience, but an aspect of that relationship ongoing. That it marks and defines the relationship as it moves on. This is the key aspect that Colossians is digging us to. He says then in chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do then, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it's not a limited one day a year try to have some thankfulness toward God. It is let this attitude of thankfulness drip and cover every aspect of your life. Because this thankfulness is so significant, because this relationship is so key. Notice what he says. He says, whatever you do, is Paul concerned with what you're doing? Not really. He says, what I'm concerned with is who you're doing it with. Are you doing it in the name of Jesus, and are you doing it with thankfulness back toward him? Is every aspect of your life marked by the presence of Jesus and you're saying, I am thankful to you? Whether you're making the turkey tomorrow or whether you're putting out the trash tonight or whether you're opening the door for a stranger, like, are you doing that? Because I'm doing this in the name of Jesus with thankfulness to God. Is every aspect of your life marked by that? The relationship is at the core of that. So if you look in your Bible, if you still have that open, chances are, once again, you will find the editors of the Bible giving you helpful headings so you know kind of what different sections are about. And it's like a total flip of the coin whether those things really guide you well or whether they mislead you on that. This is one of the times that I think it just diverts you off on there. Because what it makes you feel like is between verse 17 and 18, we have switched topics. Like now Paul is done with whatever he said before, rules for holy living as it's defined there in those little headings. And now he's going on to rules for Christian households, even though some of those don't necessarily fit within there. I think what it misses is context, which if you've been around long enough, you know, is essential to really understanding Scripture. What he said in those verses 15, 16, and 17 is, I want you to live lives marked by thanksgiving. Thankfulness is about this relationship with God that covers everything you do. And then in verse 18 and following, he says, let me give you some examples of what it looks like to do everything in the name of Jesus with thankfulness toward God. It's not meant to be comprehensive as though he'll cover every life experience. He tries to cover a lot of common ones. So that if you either are a master or a slave, or you're a husband or a wife, or you're a child or a father, which in general will cover all of us in at least one category. Right? I mean, you got to at least fit the child category. You don't really get far in the world without having that met somewhere. So at least on that category, and maybe multiple ones, what he's trying to do is say, let me give you some examples that will feed you as you move on into living a life in which whatever you do in the name of Jesus with thankfulness toward God. This is what it looks like. And if you question that, in those eight verses, six different times, he roots it in the relationship. The two times that he doesn't are not exceptions to that. It's like he assumes you get the general idea, and he doesn't need to repeat it in a nauseating fashion, right? So look in verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands, right? The core of that is not the submitting to your husbands, but as is fitting in the Lord, right? The core aspect of that relationship is, here is God present in your marriage. So you're submitting because you're doing it in the name of Jesus with thankfulness toward God. The key relationship isn't even the marriage. It is, there is a God who has bestowed abundant blessings and gifts on me. Everywhere I look, I see the giver. And I cannot help but live out that relationship with the giver everywhere I am. When I look at my marriage and I look at my husband, I see the giver first. And so I respond in that way because I am thankful. Right? Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. He doesn't add the tagline, but it's there too. The same core idea. Right? Why are you loving your wife and not being harsh? Because you see the giver first, because you have an attitude of thanksgiving, because in everything you do, verse 17, the summarizing statement of that, in everything you do, you're doing it in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving toward God. This is what it looks like with your wife. One of the ways it shows up, you're never harsh, always loving. Right? Children, obey your parents in everything. Why? What does it say afterwards? For this pleases the Lord. What's the core relationship? Your parents? Are they cool? Are they smart today? Do they have any idea what they're saying? Is it because of any of those qualities? Not at all. Right? Obey your parents. Oh, because in everything you do, do it in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving to Him. And this is what pleases Him. So if you want to live out that thankfulness, this is what it means. If you're a child, if you have parents, if you're around them tomorrow, right? Then this is what it means to express that to you. And my deepest thankfulness is toward God, and then secondary toward my mother or father who's receiving that blessing. Right? That core relationship is, I always am seeing Jesus first. I'm always aware of Him in every relationship that I'm in. He goes on, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And again, the tagline isn't there, but we understand it from the greater context. We'll pick it up. It'll pick up steam really strong in a moment, right? But the core idea again is, fathers, even with your own children, in everything you do, Do it in the name of Jesus and with thankfulness. And so the way you treat your children, fathers or mothers, flows first because you see Jesus. And you want to be thankful to him for the gifts he's given. He has said, you are chosen, you are holy, you are dearly loved. Right? He's proclaimed that over you, a promise in your identity worth being thankful for all the time. And then he begins to pick up, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Could be employees, obey your employers, whatever it is. Do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, right? Which makes human sense. When your boss is watching you, rarely do you really screw around, right? That's not when you make the paper footballs and play games on your desk, right? You're hard at work when the boss is right behind you, right? But he says, not only that to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and with reverence for who? For the Lord. Because when you are at work, whatever work that might be, if your work is at home, if your work is in volunteering, if your work is in a place of paid employment, right, the first person that you're serving is Jesus. In everything you do, I'm doing this in your name. I am nursing in your name. I'm doing sales in your name. I'm doing architecture in your name. I'm picking up trash in your name with thankfulness in my heart toward God. I'm welding in your name with thankfulness in my heart toward God. Whatever category you have, this is what I'm doing. He goes on, whatever you do, verse 23, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Here, whatever role it is that employer has, whatever role it is that parents had, that a spouse had, that children have, becomes super secondary. Right? When you are parenting your children, parent them as though it was for Jesus. And only secondarily because it'll help them grow to become wonderful young men and women in our world, right? When you're engaging with your spouse, love them with all of your heart for Jesus. Only secondarily because that might make a good marriage for you or might help out in other kinds of ways, right? You are first of all serving the Lord, not at all men or working for them, since you know you'll receive, in verse 24, an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Right? Who's already given the gifts to you? God. And who will give the best gifts to you in the future? Who will give the best gifts to you in the future? God. Absolutely. And will you get gifts from others in the future? Yeah. And you'll get good gifts from family and from friends and others around you. But the very best gifts you've ever received have come from God. The best gifts you'll ever get in the future will come from Him too. He has the best ones to give. He knows you the best. He loves you the best. They will come from Him to you. It is the Lord Christ, the end of verse 24, you are serving. Six different times, right? As is fitting in the Lord, for this pleases the Lord. Do it out of reverence for the Lord, as working for the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. All the way through, what you see is this message from Paul that says that our thankfulness means that we have this constant focus and awareness of Jesus. And every breath that we take, every movement of our body, every decision that we make is centered on Him. You have been so good to me, Jesus. So insanely, incredibly, amazingly good to me. I cannot take my eyes off you. And everywhere that I move, even though I engage in other people, when I bless them, it is really because you have blessed me and I want to show love to you. And I know that in this world, I love you best when I love other people the best. But even before the fact that you're my son or my daughter is the fact that Jesus is there and He is the one that I serve and love the most in this moment. This is what it means then to live thankfulness. Not as this occasional moment of speaking something out, but that it flows out of my life. It is this attention to the giver. Always, constantly aware of that moment and that season for our life. Will you pray with me? Jesus, there is no way for us to measure or quantify or understand the gifts you've given. But that doesn't mean we don't try. So God, I ask that you would grow our awareness and appreciation for the fact that over and over again in our life, there are gifts from God to us. Gifts of grace, gifts which we did not deserve and did not earn. And God, I thank you again tonight that they are given because you notice us. Because in all the busyness and all the human beings wandering and walking through the face of this earth, you have seen us. And you've cared for us and given gifts. And God, I ask then that we would grow into that relationship of thanksgiving with you. So that we begin to see you first in every relationship around us. That the choices that we make are really about how do we express thankfulness to you over and above our marriages, our families, our work relationships, our friendships, and all of those other things. Jesus, draw us into that focus where our attention is completely on you, God, with thankfulness in our hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen.